Praise God. I want to take a few moments to share with you as you continue to follow God and do what God is asking you to do. When Apostle told me he wanted me to do the commencement address, I asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted me to say. And he gave me four things. If you do these four things, whatever you call to do, wherever you are called, is going to be easy to do and to handle. You are already built and created to do what God has called you to do. It's already in you. But these four things will allow it to come from the inside to manifest on the outside. If there was not anything for you to accomplish, God would have had no reason to let you come to earth. The only reason why we are here is to fulfill what he wants to happen here on earth. I've seen these four things in Apostle. I myself practice them. But if you do these four things, everything else you need to know and understand and need to learn to do will be easy. First thing, very familiar scriptures, Matthew's the 6th chapter, the 33rd verse. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't even go to the B part. I want to stick with the A part. Yes, sir. Now, let me put an apostolic edge on that. Seeking God first, seeking his kingdom first, means you eventually are going to have to hear his voice. Yes, sir. Seeking God, I want to take Matthew 6:33 out of the religious realm and put it in the apostolic realm. Just because you know the Ten Commandments, you are following them, don't mean you're seeking God. Just because you're doing the right religious duties and right religious acts does not mean you're seeking God. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, or God's ways of doing things, and his righteousness mean to do them his way right. Not just right. Do him his way right. You say, explain to me what his way right means. Well, we all know it's good to give. We all know that. But are you giving what he said, or are you giving what you want? It's right to give, but it is his way. So in order for you to do things his way right, his righteousness, you're going to have to be able to hear his voice. Most preachers are preaching to people to keep them away from sin or out of sin. And the one simple solution to that is teach people to hear God's voice. John 15:3, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, now you are clean. Now you are clean. Now you are sin free through the words I have spoken. So that's why you have Christians who sometimes can't beat habits. You have Christians that sometimes seem like they can't get it together, like they keep falling in the same sin. It's because they're not hearing his. Because every time God speaks to you, every time Jesus speaks to you, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he is occupying you to do something for him. So you have to be able to eventually hear God's voice. That's the only way you're going to properly seek him. Remember, you're clean through the words I have spoken to you. That means he got to be speaking to you. Are you seeing this? Number two is my favorite because I've watched this. I do this. And we shouldn't judge other people, but I'll be judging people that don't do this. I just ask the Lord to forgive me because I know already I'm a judge anyway. Number two is practice what you preach. Second Timothy, the second chapter. Let me get that. I want to read this. Second Timothy, the 15th verse of Second Timothy, the second chapter, the 15th verse. It says, study to what? Show thyself approved unto who?
God.
Unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't you ever preach anything that you haven't walked out. Don't you see, some of these preachers are trying to preach and they get something because it sounds good. That's studying to be approved of men. Is it going to sound good? Am I going to get their attention? But this scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto
God.
What that means? That means I'm in his word. I'm able to hear his voice. Watch this. And I'm able to walk out what he's telling me.
Yeah. Yes,
so that as a minister of the gospel, when I turn around and preach to somebody else, I'm not just giving them information, but I'm now imparting.
Yeah.
Yes. Matthew, the fourth chapter. You must notice in this fourth chapter of Matthew's that the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Now, this was the very first thing Jesus did in his ministry, was to be driven into the wilderness. If the previous chapter, the third chapter, you'll see that he found Saint John, he found John to baptize him. John didn't want baptizing. He said, no, John, you got to baptize him so that all righteousness can be fulfilled. When he come out of the water, the dove landed on his shoulder. God spoke from heaven. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, before he did anything.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Then you go to the fourth chapter. He said he was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil.
Yes.
Jesus could not die on the cross for our sins until he experienced what we are experiencing. Jesus couldn't preach to us about something he had not experienced. So if Jesus had to have walked through what God was telling him through to do before he preached it to anybody else, what about you? Jesus didn't preach not one word that he had not walked through. That's why he was able to impart to the disciples. Because he had been where the disciples were and were able to give them instructions on what to do or how to walk through it. We find ourselves today in a church where there's too many people that are preaching but not practicing. And what preaching and not practicing does, it trips up the young Christians behind us. Is there a God? If this person fell, is there a God? If this person do this, well, how God couldn't keep them? Because the first thing is, you got to be able to walk in what you're preaching. I haven't wrote a book yet. Probably won't ever if God don't tell me. But I hadn't wrote a book yet on raising children. Because I'm still in the process. See, that's the problem I have with social media. We have all these people trying to be authoritarians in places they haven't taken authority over in their life. So now watch this. You can give good information. A person can give good information, but if you listen to a person with good information that haven't walked it out for themselves and you allow them to impart into you, then what they're doing, they're transferring their issues to you. That's why you have to follow somebody that practices what they preach. Third thing, this is important, very important to you, for you as ministers of the gospel. You have to let God become your source. You have to let God become your source. I'm going to give you three scriptures that you probably have never connected when it comes to money. But as a minister, these three scriptures are going to give you the key to how God is going to finance your ministry. Number one, Galatians 6 and 7. The Bible says, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I see so many preachers trying to preach on giving, and they're not giving. So that connects to number two. You have to practice what you preach. If you want me to give, how can I teach you about giving? So that means if watch this. If I'm not giving, that means I'm not receiving. So if I'm a preacher that's not giving, and I know I ain't receiving, that means I'm trying to come get it from you. Yeah. Which makes me dig into people's pockets. Yeah. Watch this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. The Apostle Paul told us how God is going to finance your ministry. Yes, sir. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And the 11th verse. The Apostle Paul was writing, he was talking to the Corinthians, and he was giving them an explanation of, that God was his source. Because they had some people that probably got a little ruffled about how Paul was living, but Paul would let them know, God is my source. Let me tell you what's happening to you. He got down to verse 11. He said, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Notice what he said. He said, if we have sown. If we have sown. Now, if you don't notice, I'm connecting 1, 2, and 3. If I can't hear the voice of God, I can't deliver nothing. I don't know what he want me to say. I don't know what he want me to do. And once I hear God's voice, if I don't practice what he says, I'm not going to be able to impart. If I can't impart, that means the people that I'm leading, the people that I'm ministering to, ain't getting spiritual things. And so watch this, according to Apostle Paul, if they're not getting spiritual things, what it means, spiritual things? What it means is I am giving you things that's going to cause you to go into this world system and succeed and to dominate. So if what I'm telling you is causing you to go into the world system and dominate and succeed, why should I not receive or your carnal? Because your what you receive in the carnal is a result of what you've been learning in the spirit. Is that making sense? 2 Kings, the 12th chapter. When I saw this about 2 months ago. When I saw this, I've been reading the scripture a long time. Matter of fact, ever since Apostle got the apostolic and prophetic words of money cometh, I've been reading the scripture. And just 2 months ago, I saw this. 2 Kings, the 12th chapter. The 4th verse. Now, remember now, Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I'm not a giver as a leader, as a minister, as a man or woman of God, if I'm not giving, I ain't receiving. If I'm not giving and receiving, then I can't impart that to anybody. Right. See, the process of giving and receiving is when you allow God to become your source. So when God becomes your source, you can talk like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I abound when I need to abound. I know how to be abased when I'm around abased people and I need to minister to them. I can get down there with them. But I also know that I abound when I need to abound. Yeah. See, you can shift me when God is your source. Yeah. So Galatians 6:7, God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. 1 Corinthians 9:11. If I sow unto you spiritual things, I shall reap of your carnal. Yeah. It's a divine setup. In 2 Kings 12, verse 4, and Joash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord. And I was shocked when I saw, because you're going to see the words money cometh. In this scripture, I was shocked what it said right after those words. Watch this. It says, all the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh where? Into a man's heart. You can't get to a man's heart. Only God can get to a man's heart. So if you allow God, see, watch this setup. If I'm not giving and receiving, that means God is not my source. That means I can't import it. If I can't import it, that means if I'm preaching and I need money, that means I'm going to preach with another motive. Yep, 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 yep. If I just do what God is asking me to do, be who he called me to be, and when I accomplish those things, God will put me around people that will be able to hear his voice and give of their carnal. People have no idea, no understanding why people bring money to the altar. No clue. No clue whatsoever. They think it's some gimmick. They think it's some game here. It's simply 1 Corinthians 9 and 11. Ain't nobody gonna keep coming to the altar if they ain't receiving nothing. Let's make sense of this. You have to let God become your source. If you let God become your source, God will finance your ministry. You won't need to look to nobody to give you an opportunity. You won't have to look for, if God called you, God will open all the doors that he needs open for you. See, the problem is we are judging our ministry on other people's ministry. God might not want to do it that way. Might be another way God want to do it, but you won't find out if you can't hear his voice.
That's right.
Proverbs 21:1. Watch this. Now remember, it says, all the money that cometh into a man's heart.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of the water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. You don't have access to God's people's heart. He does. And he will touch who he needs to touch. He will instruct who he needs to instruct to help you go where God is calling you to go. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If God called you to be a pastor, if God called you to be an evangelist, if God called you to be a prophet, a teacher, what kind of people you want surrounding you? Because I can tell you what kind of people are going to surround you. The people that's going to surround you are who you are. So if you're not a giver, you're going to get a bunch of people that ain't going to give. If you ain't living right, you'll get a bunch of people around you that ain't living right. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's why God connects you to somebody before he fully releases you in the ministry so that you can do for somebody else what you want done for you. Number four. The anointing of God is attached to his agenda. The anointing, the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God is attached to his agenda, not a person. The agenda in a person is what releases the anointing out of a person. See, in the apostolic, we had to get this, in the pastoral model, we would often say, I want this anointing from that person. I want that, but you want that anointing, but you don't understand why did a person anointed like that.
Yes, sir.
Because if the anointing is attached to the agenda, then that person has that ability and that power because of their obedience to the agenda. As soon as they stop being obedient to the agenda, that anointing will be bottled up and capped off. Oh, I got proof for you. God rejected Saul. If you remember correctly, Samuel went to anoint Saul. But Saul got out of order and stopped following instructions. And what God said? God said, I've rejected. Why, Samuel, why are you still talking to me about Saul? I've rejected Saul. God removed the anointing. Well, let me say it like this. He didn't remove it. He capped it off. Because the anointing is on the inside of you. But only God has the keys to release it. Only God has the keys to release the anointing in you. And the keys to release your anointing is understanding and being able to hear his voice and obey it. The old prophet is a story in the Old Testament about an old prophet and a young prophet. The old prophet wasn't doing what he's supposed to be doing. God had to go get a young prophet to go and do what he had called him to do, some speak a word to a nation. He told a young prophet, when you go, don't salute nobody. Don't talk to, don't hang with nobody. Go deliver my word and come on out. Now, the first question is why he couldn't use the old prophet. The old prophet had gotten into disobedience. So God had to bottle, cap off, had to cap off. You know, you got to, down here in the South, we have water wells. They had to dig for the wells. And there's a point where you dig it to a point where you drive that pipe so far down, you hit the water table. And by here, we by the Mississippi River, whenever the river high, the water table is high here. So therefore, if you're drilling while the river high and that pipe goes down and hit that water table, water going to come gushing out. And you have to cap it off. So that's what happens when disobedience comes in our lives. The anointing can be flowing, but if we get a disobedience, God comes and caps it off. It's still there. It just capped off because the key to unlocking the anointing in your life is obedience to his voice. So the old prophet has stopped being obedient, so God capped it off. God said, you can't do what I'm calling you to do. You ain't doing what I call you to do, so I got to go find somebody else. Now watch this. This is the wildest story ever. The young prophet went and did what he was supposed to be doing, and then the old prophet came to him and said, come eat with me. And the young prophet disobeyed God. So he disobeyed God, and watch this. The anointing was on him, but he did what God called him to do. But as soon as he got in disobedience, God capped it off. And the old prophet told him, said, hey, you ain't obey God. He said, this day your life is required of you. So it switched. So therefore, it proves to me that the anointing is not attached to a person, but it's attached to the agenda in a person. Before you preach to me about the gifts, because I know some of your preachers, men and women of God that know the Bible, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It didn't say the anointing. It didn't say the anointing. It says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. But it didn't say nothing about the anointing. Samson, born and anointed to deliver the children of Israel. God had given him instructions. Didn't follow the instructions. Lost all of his power. Wasn't able to accomplish what God had called him to do because he disobeyed God. God told him, don't share no with nobody where your strength comes from. But he didn't obey. He disobeyed and shared it with Delilah. Got his hair cut off. Tried to go out and do what he was capable of doing. Now the call was still on him. He still was trying to go do it. But he no longer was endued with power to accomplish it because of disobedience. But Samson in chains, bound up, say, God, just give me one more time. So the call was still there. The gifting was still there. It's just the anointing was absent. But when he committed to say, God, give me one more chance. And the crazy thing about this is, in that moment, he killed more Philistines than he did in his whole lifetime. So the anointing was there to help him accomplish God's agenda. That's why the apostolic is so important. That's why being connected. See, God told Abram, I'm going to empower those that empower you to prosper. Other words, the agenda was in Abram. And everybody that connected to Abram, come on now, everybody that connected to Abram, they were going to prosper. As soon as you get disconnected from the agenda, these four things. If you do these four things, you do these four things. I know they got different strategies in ministry. I know they got different things that people teach. I know they got different ways to do things in ministry. I know they have different geographic locations. Some things we do here in Darrow might not work in another city. But if you do these four things, seek God first. What that means, listening for his voice. Not just doing your religious duties. Not just trying to be a good Christian. Not you trying. You hear the voice of God. You spend time with God, hear the voice of God, and it's going to be easy to be who he called you to be. Because you're going to have inside information. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Practice what you preach. I cannot stress that enough. We have enough foolishness in the body of Christ. We got too many preachers not practicing what they preach. Let God become your source. And remember, the anointing is attached to God's agenda. Praise God. I want an apostle to come, you know, apostle. You know, when an apostle don't care about your feelings. So if an apostle don't care about your feelings, an apostle don't care about the order of whatever's on your program. So I've asked an apostle earlier, I was supposed to do the charge, but I asked him to do the charge because I think it's important that he be able to speak into your lives and give you a charge.
Be seated. What a message. That young man seemed like he'd been trained. Paid attention. Powerful four things he put out. This class, some reason the Holy Ghost wanted me to speak some apostolic order over you. In other words, I had not done this before in a graduation. And so I want you to pay close attention for a few moments. Number one, never let or permit translation or dictionary to abort revelation. Translation does not carry anointing. It's a lot of information, but it's not revelation. It's what somebody else thought what the Bible said. And it's real clear. It will give you a good ground to teach, but very little power. All right? So don't think because you got all those books and reading them and you're getting translation and all that. No, you need to suffer. So you can get revelation. Woo, the Holy Ghost hit me just now, boy. You see, you need to suffer. See, you got to dig. Matter of fact, you got to be buried to get revelation. Are you following what I'm saying? And so you can have an explicit explanation, but no revelation. And revelation and the anointing is the only two things going to hold you up in the spirit world. You leaving this Bible college, I want you to know that I say to you, revelation and the anointing. So that means you're going to have a visitation. That means you've got to spend time before God and don't start an AI ministry. Mechanically, but it's not carrying the anointing. It matter of fact, it demolished the power. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
So never let a permit translation or dictionary to abort your revelation. Translation is you don't want to do what you need to do.
Yes, sir.
See, may I say something to you?
Yes, sir.
I've been in ministry 52 years. Never been not a day unsuccessful. Are you hearing me? So it can't be humanistic. It can't be by might nor by power. It has to be by His Spirit. So I want to add on to what Leroy is saying. I never fail in ministry. I never fail. Family wise, I never fail. I got three sons. They all preach the gospel. I've been married 55 years, coming up in June. Same woman. I'm happy. Now you have to dig for revelation. You have to spend time with God. And you have to come up here sometime and don't know what you're going to say. Or you ain't preaching. And then the Holy Ghost talk to you when you get up in the pulpit. You got a few things wrote down, but then the Holy Ghost begin to tell you stuff as you stand. You can't be scared now. You can't worry about how people see you. How God see you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. What do? That's what I want you to go from this school with, the understanding of what Junior have preached tonight, what all the instructors have taught you, and what is being said to you tonight. Because, my goodness. It is the truth that is in you. Let me say it again. It is the truth that is in you. Let me say it again. Because I'm about to say something on the internet. It is the truth that is in you that will release the anointing. The anointing will not function in information. The anointing function only in revelation. The anointing is about God. It is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. So it has to be revelatory, for it to function in the anointing. You got that? You're going to have to look like Pharaoh sometime. Don't worry about it. That's just the Lord letting you know you can't make it without me. You're going to have to go to the pulpit and pray 5-6 hours. Look like you don't have nothing, man. And the people looking at you just got talking. Spend that time with God. Here, I don't know how many thousand of sermons I've preached. He'll never let you down. Okay? Now, this is a graduation. Quickly, I'm going to give you five balancing factors in ministry. Your ministry is going to wobble sometime. Yes, but these facts are going to bring you back down.
Yes, sir.
If it don't wobble, you ain't doing nothing. If you never feel like I'm not going to make it, you ain't doing nothing. You're in a worldly setup. You're secular instead of spiritual. Because you got it all lined up, A, B, C. No, you can't do that in ministry. Ministry is not A, B, C. You might go to X.
Yes, sir.
When that anointing hits you, it's on me now.
Yes, sir.
Oh, this thing is so real. It's on me right now.
Yes, sir.
If you don't laugh with me, I'll laugh at you. A proven factor, 52 years, I think Junior said it, you can't just preach it, you got to manifest it.
Yes, sir.
I can't preach about abundance and never have no abundance. I can't preach about help and never have no help. I can't preach about wisdom and never have no wisdom. You get two sermons tonight. Five balancing factor in ministry.
Yes, sir.
You ready for them?
Yes, sir.
Pray in the spirit. Romans 8:26-28. Pray in the spirit all the time. It's the key. The balance in your ministry is the key to balance in your life, is the key to balance in your family, and all your needs will be met.
Yes, sir.
Now, you must come to the point in ministry, if you're doing it right, you have no needs. I don't know whether you use a bus, train, or a jet. And all your desires on the jet headed towards you. The bus too slow. So, Apostle, what is one of the primary success in your ministry? Praying in the spirit. Therefore, you won't let that translation take the place of revelation. Or look like you're so smart, and then you ain't got nothing. You just heard what somebody else said. Second one is train in being led by the Spirit. Now you say his son already preached. Shut up. So we're trying to give you a double anointing tonight, a double portion. Just shut up. I don't have no rules and regulations. I live by revelation. I know this is important. I know it brought me 52 years. And listen, every year was a year of success. My brother, I never had a failing year. Now you were on a certain level. See, if you try to jump to the wrong level, jump to the wrong car.
Yeah.
Trying to prove something. Ride in that raggedy car long enough that you can handle the next car coming. Car don't make ministry. Suit don't make ministry. But don't dress like a punk. Don't dress right when you're going to minister. Don't go down with them little t-shirts on, little blue jeans. Dress yourself up. You're dignified. You got a business. You got a man. I see ministers dress. I sad the way they dress. All on television, all and little t-shirt on. Baby, not yet. And if, in case you're not gonna dress right, don't say you graduated from this school. Mail a diploma back. We'll give you your money back. So train to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14. I'm almost through. The third thing is always look for the spirit and life in the word. John 6:63. Always look for the spirit and life. So therefore, you're going to have to be a meditator. All right? And what may seem like not a revelation to you will help millions of people. Just go ahead on and say what he tell you to say. You follow what I'm saying? In the spirit, it's not English. It's not grammar. The spirit is rhema. Don't get grammar and rhema mixed up. Sometimes grammar destroys rhema. You're so precise. Your verbs are all in place. And your adjectives are in place, but you got no pow. That woman there, she need a word from God. She don't need no explanation. She need a revelation. She don't need nothing to sound good. She needs something that puts something in her. So don't katala bashata. Don't katalolo bashata. Now I'm passing something on to you when I do that, all right? Huh? An aspect of anointing getting on you when it's a prophetic. Any of y'all preaching now, you're going to preach different after tonight. What Junior said to you and what I'm saying, you're going to preach different. Because you're going to trust. You're going to trust in the Lord. And they got all kind of ways to set ministry up. Yeah, they got all kind of structure, structuralizing. Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to say a word now. I want you to remember this word I'm about to say. This is going to take your ministry to another level. Every one of your ministry is unique. Now you're going to find somebody, just like you come to school, to train you, but they're not going to make you. They can train you with how they had walked with God, and but they ought to have some evidence. Yeah, don't follow nobody that don't have no evidence. Don't follow nobody tomorrow. I'm the bishop or whatever. I'm this year doctor. So if they don't have no evidence, say, I'll see you. You don't try to tell me to be a producer and you're not a producer. How many I give you? Three. Fourth one. Meditate the word as often as possible, if only for a little while. That's Psalm 1:1-3, and Joshua 1:8, and then number 5, keeping your soul and body under control. If you don't know, I'm going to close with this. If you don't know, your soul is a monster. Your intellect, your will, your conscience. I'm going to start teaching on that real soon because most Christians are robbed in their soul. Not in their spirit. You can't rob you in your spirit. You're anointed in your spirit, but your soul. And one of the main ones, I'm a clothes. I got the clothes. One of the main one. I want you to hear about this. Main one. And you're going to, I tell you what, you're going to increase tonight. When I tell you about this man one, your ministry is going to leap tonight. You're going to go to another level immediately. Emotion. Emotion is a whore in the spirit. Did I come up here with that? No, he just told me that. See, that's what I tell you. See, your emotion is a whore in the spirit, and you got to put some clothes on it. You get angry, you get upset. He send people to you to mess you up. People turn their back on you. People leave you. People been with you 10 years, walk away. Don't go after them. Keep some clothes on your soul. You know when you got mad. You know when they rub you wrong. You come on, talk to me here. But you done found that hole out tonight. Therefore, I got a clothes, man. Therefore, I will not be raped no more. Your raping days are over. Got it? You got it? You got it? You got it? You got it? Tell somebody I'll never be raped again. Tell them. Come on, God. Come on. I receive your seed. Don't tell me you heard that before. You're lying. Let me say it a different way. I'm going to say it because, you see, preachers are scared to say something like this. Your soul will make a whore out of you. For devilish thing. I'm not talking about adultery now. I'm talking about stupid. I'm talking about when something hit in your life, be still. And know I'm God. Shut up. Don't quote scriptures to me. Shut up. Let the scriptures in you come up in you to make you stable. Yes. I just want to let you know that I love you. I don't know, we've been
how long the school been? How many states we got represented? Tonight, 16, I think. Those of you online, we love you too. You got how many online? 54 graduated online. How many here? 50, uh-huh. Lift your hand. And receive this apostolic impartation. Wherever you are now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray because you're faithful enough to be a student, that God will open the right doors for you and the right gates and give you the right wisdom to walk in it. Whatever missing in your life right now, I speak that it will be fulfilled because of your obedience, your health, your wealth, your family, your ministry, your traveling, whatever you need to do. Whatever God got for you, whenever the rapakota le shakota, imbereste kota ta, troma askota esiko, and my na no mandalisti, rekasoko besata, a fresh empowerment will flood you and your family, you and your ministry, from this day forward. If there are any sickness or disease in your body, the help is coming now. If there are any shortcomings in your finances, it's being fulfilled now. Obey the Holy Spirit instruction from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Something came up
God was setting me up for promotion. You listening? But the key to promotion is devotion. Now, if you ever saw a dedicated man, you're looking at him. Day and night. I can't get him off my mind. All my family, I celebrate all their birthday with them and all that holidays we celebrate, but I can't get him off my mind. I'll be 80 in August. Still flowing. Retirement? You out of your mind? You got a long life ahead of you. Y'all ain't married, y'all ain't pregnant, y'all gonna get pregnant and get married.